Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us again today. The new format that we've recently been testing out with the intros will be back next week. Tommy is away on vacation. Everyone go wish him happy anniversary. So that'll return next week. Today, we're going to talk about all the Grand Slam Philly action, specifically the distance events, as per usual. Some exciting shakeups there. So that was fun to talk about. And also, we're going to be looking ahead to the Rome Diamond League. Ollie has a very interesting race strategy that he previews. So make sure you stick around for all that. But yeah, once again, thank you so much for joining us. We love to be here with you guys. Like, comment, subscribe, etc. And enjoy the show.
Coffee club, grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club Podcast for episode 189. Guys, it's happening. The gang is breaking up. Not really. Sorry, that sounded like dramatic. I just got really nervous. I was trying to say that this is going to be our last episode altogether here in the studio for a little bit.
I thought you were going to say we were approaching the nervous 90s again for the second time.
The nervous 90s. I forgot about. I mean, we are.
We are.
We are in the nervous 90s.
Next week. No, not yet.
Fuck. We are getting real close to episode 200. That is a bit scary. But no, what I meant is that this is the last episode here in the studio with the three of us for a little bit, because tomorrow, from when we record this, Ollie is heading over to Europe. He's the first of us to go out on the conquest, the crusade, because he's racing in the Rome Diamond League on Friday, one day from when this episode lands, when it comes out. And yeah,
the Golden Gala,
I think, is exciting. Oof. Right,
I'm excited for it.
Time to get back
and
racing.
I'm not even there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually like, well, this is my fifth year running in Diamond Leagues, which
my
is
first
like,
time Rome, right?
Yeah,
they normally don't have a men's
first
15
time. Usually have the women's was iconic.
Yeah,
with Faith and all the ladies. Cinta was in that, and Sage was pacing it, and that was a crazy race because they all ran super quick. But that was in Florence. That wasn't in Rome. Cause I think Rome, something
that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I
there
think.
Was something going
I mean,
on.
Last year was in Rome back in Rome.
But yeah, it's exciting. I mean, like, yeah, 5 years doing the Diamond League circuit, and I've almost ticked off all the ones that I've wanted to tick off. And this is one of the ones I really want to tick off. So, doing Rome is very exciting, and I get to go there with, the face of Hugo Boss and Gucci and Coco Cabana, Dolce Cabana, Robert Farkin. The stud, the stallion. So we're going to go together. Cinta's coming with us to make sure that we behave.
And to translate.
And to translate, yeah. Well, Robert's Italian is pretty bad. Mine's actually worse. But yeah, it's going to be really fun. Actually, the three of us, it's a really fun group to go with. So looking forward to it. And we get to take that direct flight to Rome from Denver, which is a new flight, which is very convenient. Traveling to Europe, because usually you have to go through Germany. Much to Robert's dismay, we're going straight to Italy. And
that is actually ideal.
Very, very ideal. So it's going to be hot as absolute balls there. Yeah,
is it really?
Yeah, it's 30. Hot as fuck right now over there. So it's funny though, because it's hot as fuck. And then I look at Oslo, and Oslo is like pouring with rain, like 15 to 16 degrees for the race. So it's going to be like running in the heat and then running in the freaking St. Moritz cold.
Well,
so
at least your race, I don't know what time your race is, but Cinta's race, I think, is 10:50 at night.
What?
So I think she is the last race, I believe. You're probably around 10.
Probably something like that, yeah.
So at least it'll
it's funny
nice.
That some of the European ones love a night meet, but a lot also love like an afternoon.
I think it's reflective of their cultures. Not that I'm a historian or a geographer, but like, because you think about like Spanish meets, obviously they're late. Italian meets, always late.
They help us a lot too.
Scandinavian countries earlier, you know? I saw a map one time that showed that they eat dinner at like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
It's already been dark for about 3 hours.
Yeah, so they have to.
But that's in winter and summer. They're probably switching that and having dinner at midnight. But
I was going to say, boys, I almost had a bean shout out today from myself. I meant to tell you guys this. I got a bag of beans that arrived last week. Guess how many dollars? It was like 6 ounces.
6 ounces. That's like one of the
half, I think
ones.
Half a normal bag.
Okay.
Yeah, 12 ounces a normal bag.
Can I ask where they came from?
What part of the world or what website?
What? Not where the actual beans are, but the roastery.
USA.
Okay.
Maybe Brooklyn.
Did you pay for these?
No. You guess the full price, and then I'll tell you what I paid for them.
Full price, 6 ounces.
I'm gonna say $32.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
More than wow. Okay, I'm gonna say 38. More
50. Like,
you're not even in the ballpark.
$1 million.
Closer. All right, this bag of beans that I've only had one coffee actually. Got a few special occasions. $79.99.
Jeez.
George, you don't spend money. What's wrong?
What's going on?
Well, exactly.
With this bag?
Now I tell you the full story. I follow this coffee account. It's called, have you seen Coffee Bros?
Yeah, Coffee
Pop
Bros.
Pop up. Nice white bags. Very like, very tasteful designs. They had this like promo thing. It might have been, I don't know if I got scammed or not, but you could enter to win a discount code of $70 for this bag. And then like a few weeks later, I got an email. It was like, you've been selected. One of, it was like a couple hundred apparently. I don't know. For a $70 off code for this bag of beans. So I paid $9.99 for an $80 bag of beans.
Do they taste more like a $9.99 quality bean or a $80 bean?
I don't know what an $80 bag is supposed to taste like.
All right. So like, okay.
So I couldn't tell you.
Tingling maybe?
Verb is a very good bag of beans, right? Compare it to a bag of beans from Verb, because Verb is a decent price for a bag of beans, but high quality.
I think theirs is probably low 30s, but that's also double the size. So
yeah. So
there's something 10 ounces though.
Yeah.
Which is on the smaller side.
Let's go off quality though. We're going off quality.
This is about four times that.
I couldn't tell you why, if they were any
better or
any,
worse.
No, not any better. High, up there with tasty
better
ones.
Better than the place that's near the gym? Better than those beans?
Yes, better than those beans.
Is there like a cool story? But, is there context or something behind it? You know,
there's just like this one little family that has this like farm. They're from Brazil. Light roast. Crazy thing.
Because let's say like if there was a story behind it, then I would buy into that. Like one time I was at this vineyard and they had like these special they had like three different batches of like the wine, and some of them, they would only pick them during the nighttime on a full moon. Like I would pay a lot of money for that, even though that's probably completely made up, you know, like the story. I'll pay for that.
See, I don't know who's paying $80 for these. And I hope I didn't like accidentally subscribe or something.
Yeah.
You should double check that.
There was just like a cute photo of this like family, and they have just like this little coffee farm or something. But I don't know what made them.
Hopefully they're getting paid.
I don't know what made them eight times better than a normal bag.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to taste them.
The nice thing is crazy, the coffee club beans, when they come out, they're going to be $90.
We're going to go
for only 4 ounces.
For only 4 ounces.
That's the business plan right there. It's amazing. But yeah, we have lots of fun track stuff to talk about today. We are going to do a bit of a deeper dive preview on Rome. But before that, we're going to go through the biggest story of the last week, which was the third inaugural, I don't know what inaugural means still, the third ever Grand Slam in history held in Philadelphia. Overall, first time was a two-day meet. I would say overall probably a success for them. I still have no idea how they measure success, their metrics. They were a lot more smart with their camera work this time, that they kept showing shots of the fans, but it was like right at the finish line. I think there were a lot of fans there. And I think the fans there were amazing. Everyone said really highly. So I'm not trying to say there weren't fans there, but I'm just saying like they blocked off a lot of the stadium for people couldn't sit there, and they weren't showing that part on the camera.
To be fair, it is a massive stadium.
Probably 80,000.
80,000. Like if they filled that whole stadium with 80,000, I would have been.
But
like,
there's massive upstairs, which I think like never, no one sits there.
They didn't realize they don't sit there.
Yeah, but they even blocked off like a decent portion.
They blocked the whole curve.
Yeah, they blocked the curve off.
Home straight, back straight. But the people there did look like they were getting hype.
It looked sick.
Yeah. But they positioned those cameras well.
Yeah.
I mean, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think 2 days was much easier to digest. I missed a decent amount of Sundays, or just the first bit. But did you notice how much closer the races were together?
Yeah, I mean, I was only, to be honest, I was only really paying attention to certain races. Luckily, they were actually close to each other, generally, the races that I was paying attention to. Yeah. And they were all really good races, all of them, I think, were really good. So, I mean, for me, I had a good selective viewing experience. It seemed like a good vibe overall. I mean, I think classic Philadelphia weather, just like some light rain sprinkled throughout it. I don't think it was very warm there. I don't know. So the sprinters probably weren't loving it, even though I think they ran pretty quick still in it. But it did make for some good weather, I think, for the distance guys out there. And yeah, I would say we got served some amazing races across the board in the distance stuff once again. So I did really, really enjoy watching all of them.
I would say the same. I wonder how they would have to, their measure of success, they have to refund everyone who bought tickets on Friday. They have to make those 2 days good enough to make up for losing a whole day of TV and tickets and everything, right?
Yeah, it is probably a big loss not being able to run. Dude, I mean, I don't know how the heck their financials work. I mean, they're getting money from somewhere unknown, black hole. But yeah, in terms of the sponsors and all that stuff, cutting off that amount of hours is definitely going to be big. Going from 3 days to two, like that's 2/3 of the TV time. And yeah, you have to imagine that most live sports are trying to make a lot of their money through TV time and the ads that they're able to show during that TV time. So yeah, that is a big loss for them, I would imagine. But I think a necessary loss because, as you mentioned, I think, yeah, the 2 day did flow a lot better. And yeah, it was exciting. Just like in the first couple meets, it was like, I remember there was a day when I was watching it and then like, I forgot that like the 8:15 group wasn't on that day. And then I was just like depressed because I was like, oh, I don't get to watch the 8:15 group today. That's unfortunate. So
yeah, true. With that full day off.
Is fixed.
Which for the full day, other.
But yeah, what did you think, Ollie? Did you watch any of it?
No, I did watch it. No, I thought like if they're going to be successful, these upcoming slams are going to be the ones to be the most successful. I tried to watch both and I'm struggling with the sprints, to be honest.
Still. How about the drip check? We'll go back one day.
The drip check.
Who is your favorite drip check?
Kai Robinson. Kai Robinson was my favorite drip check. Shout out to Joe Klecker for customizing Kai's outfit. And also his jeans were from me. So he wore his little Athens
biased
Australian hemp made jeans and then a OAC hat made by Andy Weeding. The drip checks were good. Josh's suit wasn't tailored, but it was a Gucci suit. So, you know, he likes to live fancy.
So he is like, that's like just a slight miss.
He's done well, except if you're wearing a suit like that, you should probably tailor it. It looked like it was a bit too big. He did look like a mafia boss, which is probably what he was going for. I think the best dressed was Yared Nuguse. I really liked Yared's outfit. I think it really did well. It showed what Yared is.
How many Bonnemer jackets do you think Yared owns?
He loves them. He owns, I think he owns three. He has the squid, the one for Switch, the Splatoon one. And then I think he has another one that he got.
But I'm not trying to take anything away from Yared, but I think his boyfriend has a decent hand in
putting together I'm pretty sure Julian got him those pants, which is like one of my favorite pants that Yared owns. Not taking away, but Julian probably was the stylist for Yared. The drip checks were good. I mean, to be honest, and I say this with all...
I can't wait to see your drip check, theoretically.
Theoretically. Speaking. Josette, I'm being positively critical here to On. If you have an athlete in the Grand Slam, bro, put them into the Weve gear. Put them in the PAF gear. Like she was wearing the tennis On gear and she's in a track and field event. I wish to see her in like a cool Weve, cool PAF On collab. On's got some of those cool, like, I don't know, some of the outfits that you can see on the On website are really cool. I was hoping to see her in something similar.
Put her in the
similar.
Zendaya.
And the Zendaya's like the space. Yeah, the space suit. I was really hoping for something like that, but
that
maybe it was hard and
you're
short
right,
notice.
Actually. You're right. That actually is a mess. If they know their athletes are going
In order to respect to On, like obviously...
You've seen them a couple of things.
Yeah. In order to respect to On, like the court, she's wearing like a tennis kit, which it looks fantastic. This tennis kit, I think it's great. The skirt's unreal.
Tennis stuff's cool.
The tennis stuff is awesome. I think it's very, very cool design. But she's a track and field athlete, and I would love to see her in something that's a bit more unique, maybe a bit more, particularly if they're doing those drip things. And I know On knows how important these Grand Slams are for branding. So, you know, hopefully, you know, this is just me saying it, because hopefully if George or I or somebody else on the team gets in, maybe they can send us some cool shit. Maybe On can send us some cool stuff. But I thought Josette's outfit was great. I just wish to see her in something a bit more, you know, Swiss engineering, cool On gear. Well,
the expectation isn't necessarily to wear like your brand stuff at the drip check either.
That is true. But I think On has cool stuff that they could use there. And how many On athletes are in the Grand Slam other than Sige, Josette, Yard, right?
Kambunji ran.
Kambunji. I mean, to put any of the athletes in a really cool On kit, I think it would be sick. On has the spacesuit stuff. I thought Yard was going to turn up in a spacesuit at some point. But that's an order of respect On. No diss really. Just saying that, like, it would have been cool to see her in something other than the tennis kit, which is also just, which is really cool, but I guess I've seen it a lot. I think Marco Arop is the best at just not giving an absolute shit about the drip check. He just wears Adidas gear. That's like very much like casual, which I think is cool.
He just needs to take his shirt off and then.
That's what he did last time. I don't know what he was wearing last time, but he had his 8-pack out.
Yeah, I was expecting that. I think I would like to see, actually, that's just not to On, but to all the brands. I would like to see like them do a better job of dressing their athletes with the gear. With on Nike, cool Nike kits or cool Adidas kits, or because I feel like when Noah Lyles was doing those drip walks at the Diamond Leagues and stuff like that, he was always wearing like a Gucci Adidas collaboration thing, and sometimes it didn't always pay off. Sometimes it was a bit, you know, for me it was a bit too much. But
was it actually a collaboration? I feel like he was just wearing expensive designer stuff.
Well, Adidas and Gucci have collaborations, like they do like outfits and stuff, like they do like Loewe and On. So like he was wearing a lot of that stuff. To those earlier meets. Whereas like if Loewe and On did like some custom suit or some custom stuff for athletes, or I don't know who Nike works with, but Nike probably has some other high fashion brand that they work with. But that would be cool. Like if Slammers in the future, in the next few years, start doing like Met Gala style crazy shit, I would love to see that.
Well, you can start that off, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Maybe Jordy might be the first one to go through. But I thought the meet was good. I am upset for the distance guys for only running one race still, because it would have been, you know, the back-to-back would have been cool. They're the only ones that only ran one race, and they also slack on the points and the prize money, but hopefully that will change.
Yeah, I thought it was sad that Kai came third and he got the same prize money that like someone in the other event that came sixth got. But they had to, lower it.
And you sign up for that. Like if you're going into 3K, you know it's one race. It's a little.
Still more than you get winning the Diamond League.
Well, that depends on what Diamond League you run, what event you run at the Diamond League. But Well, hopefully they figure it out and they can get back to the two races.
Day one action highlights. What do we get on day one?
I think
the 800 men's 8 was,
yeah, let's go through the events. I think that'll be the easiest way to do it. I think starting off with the men's short distance, this one was interesting because Arop had he's looked so good. He's undefeated up to this point in the 800s, and you know, obviously he had to take down people like Wanyoni so far, but they were throwing a couple of other heavy hitters specifically for the 800 in this one. Most notable of all was Josh Hoey, who he must have been undefeated this year up to this point, was he?
Yeah.
Did he lose
in the 800,
any race?
Probably.
Eight in the 15.
I don't know if he lost any.
He didn't lose anything indoors because he won the 50.
But yeah, he's the current world champ indoors in the 800, and he's just looked absolutely on fire. And then they also had Hobbs, member of Team USA in the 800. So looking so stacked, as well as, I already forgot his name again, but I believe the
Chapel. The European guy?
Yeah.
Sam Chapel, right?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
I keep forgetting him.
It's something like that.
Who, I don't know if he won the European 800. I know that he did crazy stuff indoors in 800. So, yeah. And so going into it, you thought there was going to be a little more competition. Then you have all these 1500 meter guys as well, who we know can run great 800s. But I think A-Rob just showed once again how freaking damn good he is. And I especially love the way that he's racing the 800s right now, because I think it's like, maybe you would think that like the way that a 1500 meter runner is going to beat an 800 meter runner in an 800 is if the 800 guy is slowing down at the end, because you expect the 1500 guys to have quicker finishes. And it's just, he goes out at what is fast, but not max fast. So 52 rather than a 49 or a 50. And then he just speeds up. And so he's already got a gap on people, but then he's running even faster. And it's like, so no one can catch him.
52, 51 is ludicrous. How do you expect anyone else to increase the pace after going down 52?
Yeah. Like, he's just controlling these races.
It was insane.
In a way that I feel like you don't really see at like that level for the 800. So
he definitely eased up too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before the line. That was, and gave the crowd a wave.
Mm-hmm. So
going 143.
He's looking so good. Hoey did come through for second, and then it was huge to see Yara come through again in the 800 and ended up third.
That's a great 800. Beating Hobbs, right?
Yeah, beating Hobbs there. And so, yeah, I think that's something that everyone's been maybe surprised about. I think on paper, it looks previously like Cole and Josh were like guys that would trend towards more having like crazy 800s. But Yarrett has really showed them that he's the freaking boss when it comes to 1500 meter guys running the 800. And he's been doing absolutely amazing in that. So
I wonder if Cole has intentionally getting worse at the 800. Because all his chat about, like, I think he's
talks about it a lot. Yeah.
He wants to double at Worlds this year.
That's what he literally.
And it's not in the 800.
They had him in the post race show type thing. And like, that's like the main thing he says now. He was talking about how, you know, he just doesn't think he's like primed to run quick 800s when his goal for this year is to try and do the 1500 5K double at USA's and then Worlds.
So in that case, still running 145 is. It's pretty legit, actually.
It's pretty damn good.
Whereas Yarrett is doing anything he can to never run another 5K. Like,
yeah.
And Cole is trying to run it at Worlds, which is quite a different mindset, I feel like.
That's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for Cole. I mean, I would say in this one overall, he made a big step forwards, which we kind of talked about last week, how we expected him to progress through. And as he mentioned, like, it's still a really long time until like USA's and Worlds and stuff, so who knows, maybe he is on like the exact right path that he needs to, because it's kind of crazy the nature of the beast of the 1500, where he's the Olympic champ, but I think he's lost every single 1500 since the Olympics, and I think that's I think it's quite a few 1500s now, which is the nature of that event.
It is,
but it's just crazy to see it unfold like that.
It's like two ways of looking at it, right? You're either Yucca, where you win every single 1500 except for the world championship, where you get beaten, and then the person that wins that 1500 loses every other single 1500 meters except for the world championship.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see, like, there's a pattern of like either you win every single 1500 and you don't win the big one, or you lose every single 1500 and then you win the one that is the big one. You know,
we'll see if anyone can.
It's a non-intentional trend, because
honestly, like, it's very hard to do both.
The year that Kerr
to be dominant in that
last world champs, Kerr was relatively quiet in a lot of the other races he did, and then Whiteman, I think, was like kind of the same as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only time
anybody's
been that dominant is probably like in our era. Was probably Chariot, I'd say.
Well, Jakob. I mean, when Jakob in Tokyo. Jakob wasn't winning every single 1500, but I think he still won.
He won a majority. Maybe he was the first.
Chariot was still at that point winning a lot of races.
Because Chariot was a favorite, I think.
I think he was. Because there was I don't know if you remember, there was the famous quote where his dad, where Gert, says after, like, now Jakob's
never
going to get beat. And then I think like a week later at a Diamond League, I think Chariot did beat.
Chariot won the Diamond League final that year.
Yeah, like something like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of how it's been, but
I don't think it affects Cole at all. I think Cole's pretty mentally very, very sure of himself.
For world champs and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
absolutely. And then we had women's short distance. Jess going absolutely ballistic.
Yeah, this is another thing that, like, not that we predicted this would happen, but we did question last week about, you know, Jess has been a little more quiet in these first two, and we obviously know the how amazing she is and like what her skill set is particularly. And this is what she talked about in her interview afterwards. She said pretty much like, yeah, I looked at how the other ones had been run and I just realized like I had to be a bit more intentional and do something a little bit different. And if you watched it, you know that's exactly what she did, right? She really played into her strengths, broke the field wide open and got rewarded with a second place. The only one that could go with her was Wolteji, who's just, she's also absolutely amazing form right now. And
I do forget that Jess has literally run 351, right? Or
350.
She's run 350.
350 flat, right?
350.
So. That's absurd. So 358, I guess that should be doable.
It's hard to like compare that to guys though, because like, I guess
that 8 seconds equivalent?
But it's like, just imagine if you were...
It's like if you run 329, I should hope that you can run 337 from the front. Right?
I don't think that's irrational.
That doesn't compare, actually.
I think it's like Yard running 335 to 327, I reckon.
The gap must be...
It's like a similar gap.
No, but I think 358 sounds way better than 335.
It's about the same on... Oh, it's slightly about the same on points. 358's about the same as 335 flat or 334.
I mean, whatever it is,
we had this argument like literally for like a week when Robert was talking.
No, they're
girls.
Super different though, because I would say like the men's one is a lot more deep. Like, okay, in the women's one, you don't have just a couple of people that can run like so much quicker than everyone else. You know, like there's the men's 1500 is a bit more deep at the top end. Like, there's less of a spread in times, I guess. So that's probably what accounts for the difference.
Well, the spread is but. Not many people run 327. It's like three or four guys. And then the rest of it's 331.
They run 328 and 329?
Yeah, but it's the same guys. It's
331. The amount of guys that are running right now in the 15 that are broken 330 is a decent number.
No, it's probably only under, around 10 probably.
That's a pretty big number compared to under 352 for the women.
That's still...
Their record is 349.
It's still 3 seconds. It's still like a lot, I think.
No, I'm just saying that there's more men that are closer to what the top men is running, like within that 3 or 4 seconds than on the women's side.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the women's side is literally like three people. It's like Faith, Jess, Wolteji,
and
George Bell. And I guess George Bell at the Olympics.
She was, 52 at the
She was very quick.
Faster, like, I think.
53 or something. Unreal. But anyway. I did make it like a pretty crazy race. Well, the women's races are always way more like this compared to the men's, where because we've seen it in the distance ones like every single time where they just get way more spread out. And that's what it ended up being. Hiltz came through for third. I don't know if you guys saw it. Abby made a fat move on the backstretch. I thought she was going to go past him, but I think Hiltz and Georgia Bell were kind of like conserving a bit, because it's a different mentality where I kind of realized where once you know. Like, because Jess and Wolteji had gapped them by so much that they would have known, like, yeah, we're not catching them. So then you're literally just trying to beat the person who's next to you. Like, you don't even care about, like, if it was a Diamond League, you'd still have, like, time as a goal. Whereas in these races, it's like, no, like, I'm going to, like, just run with the person next to me and just do whatever I need to do to beat them, which I feel like they were.
Do you think that's what's happening?
They were kind of doing a bit.
In the back? Where Moi Mara is
yes, I
running.
I feel like you can tell when she literally. Actively is like, I'm saving it for tomorrow now.
Literally, they'd like pan to past the leaders, like everyone's high-fiving, hugging. They pan back. Mary's still coming down the home straight, literally 30 seconds behind Jess.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do at that point?
I guess there's no rules against it. You're not that you can't conserve for the 800 the next day. But it's pretty funny because two meets in a row, she's run like almost 4:30 in the 1500. And last time she won the 8. This time she didn't, but it's pretty funny to see the tactics. But she kind of goes for it for a lap or two, but then maybe, is it just like once you know, it's like, all right.
That's what I think. She's not going into the races with those intentions.
I think just like at some point it's like, all right, I'm toast. I may as well.
Yeah.
I may as well chalk it in.
And we've seen how important winning a race is. You know what I mean? Compared to coming second or third.
Yeah.
The points from winning. So I guess you got to do whatever you can to try get that dub. But yeah. So that was a sick race. And then the women's 3K was also, I guess, on the first day.
It was.
And it was, I'll be honest, I was kind of playing Fortnite while it was on, so I wasn't fully paying attention. But I do know I had an eye on it, and Josette was looking real good. Mm-hmm. She was looking real good. But as we spoke about last week as well, like Ngedic and Taye, just
different level.
Yeah. Interestingly, it was the first one that didn't split. Like they actually ran slow for the first time, which was weird because it was the best distance running conditions of all three meets.
Yeah, it didn't quite make sense, did it?
With only one race. And this is the race they decided to chill.
Just change
it up. But she still lead every single lap.
Keep everyone guessing.
And kicked from the front. Because it got right on the shoulder of Ngedic, but just couldn't get around. I mean, she closed in 61, which is ripping. That's so ripping. Getting around that is quite fast, quite hard. And then she held off Taye. Unlike in Kingston, she got outkicked by Taye twice, I think.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And then, Josette was able to hang on for third, which was pretty
great.
Huge. Get a couple of dubs over some compatriots in Kaladi and Elisa. I think that's really big for Josette, and she'll take that into, she's racing in Rome as well this week, so.
Oh, yeah. She's just not traveling with you because you stayed on the East Coast.
She's just staying in Philly and then she'll travel over. Yeah. Yeah, I was like kind of preoccupied.
Were you also playing Fortnite?
No, it was me and Meg's 1 year, and she said, let's spend that 1 year watching the rest of Return of the King Standard Edition. So I had like 2 hours left. So what I did was like, we would
How long is the extended edition?
I think it's 4 hours and 45 minutes. That's what we were going to finish this before you go to Europe. So I was like, all right, it's a perfect time. You know, this is a really nice way to spend. She got really into it at the end, actually. She loved it.
Was that her first time ever watching Lord of the Rings?
Spoilers, but she freaked out when right at the end when Frodo's like, the ring is mine. She's like, no. She got so upset.
I can't imagine like your first time you watched
She was obsessed with Sam. Like she obviously like Legolas and Aragorn like studs, right? But she was obsessed with Samwise Gamgee at the end because she's like, he was so wholesome.
He's kind of the hero.
He's the hero of the story, yeah, in my opinion. But I would like switch back from Peacock to Apple because it's on my Apple account to watch it. And I tell you what, I don't want to gaslight my own brand, but the on kit, this looks so much better than everyone else's, I reckon.
Yeah.
The New Balance kit's like, it's cool.
Was this the first time the New Balance kit was?
Yeah, I think it was the first one in Philly. It looks okay, but it's just not standing out, whereas like our kit looks freaking good.
It's getting a bit of hate. Our kit is very on brand.
On brand,
excuse the pun. And I think that's powerful. That's good. And it does.
It looks good.
It does look so good.
My only notes would be for, there's a lot of different like combos, I guess, and different cuts of it. Mm. I think it'd be nice maybe if the men's, if you're wearing the singlet and the half tights, which is what Kai was wearing, if maybe the patterns like matched each other.
Yeah, it looks I think maybe just the way the design maybe was.
Because the singlet has like a pattern down your sides, but then the shorts are just like,
it's just spread out. The speckle. Whereas the half tights have that pattern.
No, the half tights, do they?
Yeah. They have the patterns on the side, but the switch shorts don't. So when you wear the half tights, it really matches the aesthetic. But
maybe there's different half tights then, because Kai was wearing half tights, and it just had the
speckles. He wears half tights.
It just had the speckles. It didn't have anything.
No, the ones
the
that have them on the side, because I have them and Robert has them as well.
I don't think they really match either, though. They're both just kind of.
We'll have to do some little.
They go on the side. We might have to double check, but there are two versions. Yeah, there are two versions. It does look really good. I love our kit.
It looks great on the TV.
I think On did a
great
job.
Great on the TV.
Yeah, On did a great job with that. Did you see Josh Kerr's kit? Did you hear the controversy about Josh Kerr's?
Is it different?
I think there's something on it that I heard the boys talking about it in the gym today. Apparently, there was something on it pushing the barrier. I think it might be the logo.
George talked about that.
The first Grand Slam.
Yeah.
The logo is the entire thing.
Apparently, they're just letting him do it or something. Like, I think Andy was talking about in the gym saying like, yeah, it's like if it was us.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, he said if like the Yara was wearing a massive On logo on his chest, he said they would probably.
I mean, we've been in those meetings with the On people talking about like that, how specific that little box is that the logo has to fit inside.
Yeah.
Like, but they're so strict about it.
They are very strict about
it. This is my question. Yeah, but this is the thing. It's like, so they're going to be really strict at the Diamond Leagues because it's like full World Athletics. But obviously Grand Slam wants to kind of break down some of these barriers, but For them to be like World Athletic certified, they probably have to follow the same rules, no?
I was wondering if they've had
issues. Maybe we could put
issues.
In a DQ request.
We could potentially, but I was wondering if they had issues with that, like because branding is, I mean, Grand Slam, like it's very important to have branding,
yeah,
but they need World Athletic
on their
side. Yeah. I mean, honestly, fair play to Brooks though.
Risk it
until you can't no more. But I heard there was a bit of issues with Josh's kitty.
That logo's not really, it's not really changing my mind on it. It's still...
The size of it is not the factor.
Yeah, it's still the ugliest kit on the track. So
I tell you what's not grown on me as much as like when I loved it initially was the Nike kit. I really loved the Nike kit when I first saw it, and now I'm not as
it's so funny, like, with the how subjective kits are. Because, like, we always talk about kits when we watch it, I swear, everyone can have, like, different opinions.
Yeah, I really loved it when I first saw it, and now every time I see it, I don't like it.
I don't love the color.
I never liked it.
Yeah.
I don't like the orange.
But
I liked it when I first saw it. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Yeah.
Purple is my favorite color, so I kind of like
the purple is cool.
I don't know if, like, I like how the men's cut looks on... Like Cole, for example, but I really like it on some other people. It's so hard.
It is hard. It was just funny seeing that the Brooks logo was that big.
Yeah.
I thought Josette ran super well. I love seeing how women race compared to the men race in the 3K, which we can go into later. But the women, I feel like the women's way more exciting. I guess the last lap, like last 200 is like great, but like just, I don't know. I like it being a little bit more carnage.
I think, this is what, I guess we can transition into the next day in the men's one now that we're talking about it because, so we had predictions for like every event, but our predictions for the men's one, funnily enough, someone got the time apparently exactly correct, which I didn't realize it was literally exactly correct. So congratulations to Ollie.
Thank you. Well done. 801, baby. I was right.
Well done.
801.0.
But I should...
A couple of predictions off.
I should get a half right, though. I should get a half right. Do you guys know why?
You predicted a fall.
Yeah, there was no fall.
Well, I also predicted the other half of that.
George predicted a Nico Young. He went with...
Yeah, you predicted Nico win.
You know, went strong with the Mike Smith pick. Smart.
Someone was really far away.
Well, this is what I'm trying to bring up. Is the fact that I predicted a Grant Fisher 7:27 contingent on Hugus Gebhardt making the pace hot. So I'm not just making excuses, but...
As soon as he dropped out, your prediction got a little shaky.
Yeah, as soon as Hugus dropped out, it was like, okay, well, who's going to make this race?
My prediction was also based on Grant being there to make the last mile fast to then run 7:42.
Yeah. So Hugus...
We both suffered from the DNNs.
I was about to say, Morgs.
Ollie predicted it all, though.
I have to be honest with you. I think that Grant loves this podcast, listen to it, and just like, fuck that. I don't want Morgan winning this. I prefer Ollie and George to win it, so I'm just going to scratch.
Maybe that is what happened. But so Hugus, we knew he wasn't going to compete from a few days out. I think it was actually like right after the pod. Like the news came out not that long after. Grant was the more surprising one because... Literally, he warmed up and then he said he felt his hamstring, I think.
I just double-checked his message to see what he said. Because I wasn't sure if it was... He said
he tweaked his hamstring a little bit or something?
He said he had his hamstring tweaked and then he said he
three or 4 days before.
I feel like it was race ready. So he's been running. Yeah. He's like, I think it was like a race ready situation.
I think someone said
he was super smart.
He like couldn't do a fast stride or something.
Yeah, which makes sense. As to how that would play out. But yeah, so at home, like we were like, well, there's only seven people there. That doesn't really make sense. But yeah, unfortunately, Grant had to drop out for that reason. So then the race dynamic, I mean, especially for the races, it would have been changed so much because a lot of their plans would have been based off those two people as well. But it did, left the door open a bit. And I guess you could have probably easily predicted this is that it was not a fast race because those guys weren't in it. It looked for like one lap. It looked like Kumoi was going to go out there and make it happen, which, I mean, he's such a strong, fast runner. So it's like, okay, yeah, he can get off this. But he went to the front and went fast for one lap and then already was kind of looking around.
Ran 1:64 and then started looking around and tried to wave Koskinen through to the front. I was like, dude.
Wrong guy.
Read the room.
Wrong guy.
What are you doing? I feel like I took this last week. Like, I cannot stand when people go to the front and then try and ask for help.
Hey, that's what Marco Arop did in the 800. He needed some help out there. He was like, hey, guys, I'm doing all the pacemaking here. Can you guys come and help me out?
Why did you go to the front if you're going to ask for help a lap later in a race where everyone's
just playing mind games, bro?
They're just running for the win. And I just texting Clicker. I said, oh, he's coming seventh.
Seventh.
And he did. So
you said specifically seventh.
I said last, I think. But I made it. No, I said seventh. I said specifically seventh.
What? Damn, so you willed his placing into existence.
That's powerful.
That's very powerful stuff, George. Hope you're not texting Klecker for me to come dead last in Rome.
No. Only if you go to the front and then ask for help.
If you go to the front, just keep pushing.
We can end the podcast. I'm going to tell you everyone my race plan. So
perfect.
Oh, I miss all these race plans, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, so this race was it became quite tactical over the first half. And then Edwin Kerget started moving to the front, which again, there's someone who's super, super strong. So we were like, okay, yeah, going to get it going. But he went to the front and then he seemed to not want to fully commit to making it like as fast as he could. So then our boy, Kai Robinson, was like, fuck it, went to the front, sped up, made it quite quick. His second to last lap was already, I think, 57. That's what it said on the screen. So I was like, holy shit, he's ripping.
He looked great.
He looked amazing.
Really good. I thought, damn, let's go, boys. Let's go.
No, like he looked so good and he kept staying in the front. The only issue is that everyone was still in it at that point.
Unfortunately, Steve Cram was right. Steve with like just after the bell, Steve Cram was like, it looks good, but I just don't think it's fast enough.
It's just everyone.
The move
was
good, but the move just wasn't like enough to
the
break
issue
those
is
guys.
These are the fastest.
Yeah.
Only the fastest.
Only the fastest.
Yeah. Except for Habro and Grant Fisher and Jakob Ingebrigtsen.
So,
yeah. Anyway.
But so Kai did hold them off for almost the entire thing. And then it just came down to the final stretch. And Nico Young came trouncing through. And then from the back, Sam Gilman freaking on an absolute tear right now.
Got his revenge from China.
Yeah. Nico Young was going to sleep. He was having a nightmare because he was freaking springing off the ground.
That's what I said in my prediction. I was like, I've seen this dude sprinting in videos and he looks like an absolute monster.
But Sam Gilman, man, I tell you what.
Most improved.
Also, I don't know. I just love that guy. I really wish.
He's confident. His momentum right now.
Kai beat him. But to be fair, Kai did get that bronze. So Sam was like, I'll take second here. And you can take the bronze. But last 200 was just so fun to watch. The rest of the race was solid, but it's just that last 200 of the race was like unreal.
Kai's got an amazing close. He's an amazing racer and
he's fast too
by going to the front and holding on to third place against all these other guys, because he held off even Korsgren for he went up coming fourth. I think Blanks was fifth.
Yep. Shoot him Blanks.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be the one also to go to the front and to do it maybe a little bit earlier. But you guys notice his hair's a bit longer? You guys see that?
He's letting loose now that he's graduated.
He's getting a little bit more
relaxed. Graduated Harvard. He's probably a bit more relaxed.
He had a big
now.
Grad party.
Oh, they did. Did you guys see what they I think he literally graduated on Thursday.
And it was like graduation went next straight to work in Philly.
That was good.
It
was a good race, and amazing work, Nico. Well done getting the dub. But I think Kai can be very, very happy about that one, especially going to the front against that caliber of field and end up third. Still really, really good. So
awesome.
It was awesome to see.
The racers are having a tough time in that category.
Yeah. It's
only
it's,
one of them was there and he came last.
That is, I didn't think about it like that.
Six challenges and the racer came seventh and the other three DNS'd.
Yeah.
Goes to show, it's the nature
of the beast.
It's hard.
It is nature of the beast. I mean, Kyle Merber texts me, he's like, oh, you, George, and Morgan can do the long distance next year because I know you guys will turn up.
Yeah. We need you guys.
Kyle said that, and he said that he loved me.
Fair enough.
No, he didn't text me. But I feel like with the distances, you're taking on a lot more mileage. It's probably, unless you're Grant Fish, I mean, even Grant is starting to succumb to it.
I think Hargos is just getting ready for his world record attempt.
That's a good point.
Which is literally in 12 days or something.
I think there's other, like, you know, for a lot of these athletes that aren't based in America, I think there's often like things behind the scenes, complications, whether it's visa related or something else that's hard to predict and that they don't necessarily know about. So it could be a whole number of things.
Beam Paul Beamish, LA 3K. If there is some god, a god, Shout out God.
His name's Kyle.
His name's Kyle Merber. If he gets us both in, I'm super concerned, bro, that because they've been all slow, the 3Ks, that the one that we get in is going to be fucking so quick. And we're going to be like, damn. Because every time we've watched it.
Should have gone to the first
every
three.
Time I've watched it, I was like, damn. Like, if Jordy was in this or if I was in this, I reckon I could have had a pretty fucking good shot at the front, like, closing hard. But hopefully that LA one, if we one of us get in or both of us get in, we just got to make sure we don't take the pace. Or what we should do is, George, you should do what you'll be your worst enemy.
Go to the front.
Go to the
down.
Front and do this. And then it'll definitely be slow. Put your hand up, just wave. It'll definitely be slow. Unless I call the bait and then I go to the front and start running 61s.
Okay, I got this, guys. I got this.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I got the pace.
But yeah, I was just thinking about that. LA, I wonder if that 3K is going to be slow again.
It just depends, I guess. There's like a few key people. I don't think Hagos will be, I don't know if he'll be at that one. But if Grant is there and isn't healthy, like he wouldn't have let it be slow either.
He'll probably just go like a sub 4 mile, I'm sure. Just yeah. Rip the last mile.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, no, it was a great race by Kai. Should we move on to the event?
Short distances?
Yeah, the short distance.
Women with, what did the women have?
800.
Women had an 800 and...
Oh yeah, well, Teji doubled up.
Yeah, domination from Teji, getting it done. Bell coming through for second. And then Hull getting rewarded, I think, coming through for third. And I think she ended up, second overall?
Second overall.
Yeah, second, third equals second, I guess. So... Yeah, another great race, solid pace. I mean, it's kind of surprising that in that event that the more 800-specific athletes are not dominating the 800. I don't know what that says. Maybe that's just like...
That's what I said before specific. The first Grand Slam.
Yeah.
What
would you say? Get rid of the 10K?
That and the women's short distance at 1500 women will prevail.
Well, to be fair, I think
because it's just not as fast.
But they're not
running 51 seconds.
To be fair, though,
it just depends also on the people.
I reckon also depends on if the 15's first. I reckon it affects the 8 for sure.
But it's properly more aerobic. Running for a minute 40 and 2 minutes physiologically is way more aerobic.
No, but I think that's
science. I'm sure.
I think it'd be different though if you had like if Mary Morrow was in top form or you had like Keely or. If you actually had like a thing mo in top form, you know, I think races would look a bit different.
Maybe
a
thing would. Like she should dominate the eight.
I think she'd be
based on the ones that
Mary Morrow should be dominating, but she's just clearly not in. Like
she's just having fun, man. Yeah. She's out fun out there racing,
cashing checks.
I mean, she's still making good money. She can definitely buy $80 bag of beans, you know. You can buy a few bags of those. Particularly Nico. Yeah. Nico can buy pretty much all of Flagstaff's bag of beans for a few weeks. But, so
and the well, Jess and was, you one. See, Jess was talking about she was offering to pace Faith's
did she
attempt? I think.
I mean, that's
she'd be a great pacer for that.
Also said that she wanted to either I've forgotten what the context something about the either pacing or being in a sub 8 attempt. Which is what Faith and Chibit should be going for instead of sub 4.
We talked about sub 8 last
podcast.
Sub 8
in the 3K seems way more realistic.
Way more attainable in
and
my
attainable.
Opinion.
Definitely.
Way more attainable.
Yeah, that's what they should go for. That would be sick.
You need that quality.
It's all right, Coffee Club. We're going to fundraise the sub 8. We're going to do it in Nawat. Nawat Market's going to cater. Morgan's going to film it. Jordy's going to commentate. And I'm just going to take all the money.
Just pace.
I'm going to pace.
Good idea.
Love it.
But the men's 1500 to close it out.
Yeah, this was a very, very, very exciting race.
Did you see Yared with the 2.6 on the start line?
Yeah, I love that he did that.
Which is so funny because he always does this.
Yeah.
And then he turned it into a 2 instead of a piece.
Just so everyone
sent
knew
up the
that
6.
It was his birthday.
That was so funny.
Birthday. Yeah, it was his birthday.
He turned 26.
June 1st.
And yeah, he was feeling good, ready to go, coming off a third the day before. I think we were all pretty excited to see if he could convert that into his first win at the Grand Slam event. Also, just excited to see, all these, how people would do after racing 800 the day before, because I guess every other time it's been the opposite, right?
Yep.
Where they've raced the 1500 and then the 800. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that played out. And once Cole went to the front, I actually, I have to admit, I had a bad take. I thought he was going to get crushed. Because he went to the front and he made it decent. Not crazy, crazy fast, but actually like pretty respectable pace.
What was the first lap? The first split was like 57 something.
Yeah.
Once he hit the front.
I think 800 was 155, 156-ish. So like for a championship race setting, solid, you know, not bad at all. But I was just thinking in my head, I was like, well, he's kind of suffered a bit in the last two when they haven't been as fast, and he's just like said fuck it and gone to the front and tried and changed it up. But like in my head, I'm like, I don't think this is really the type of runner he is. But maybe he has been doing his distance 5K training, because as we found out 2 minutes later, it did suit him. It was crazy because Yared was able to just sit on him, which like Yared normally, we know Yared, like he's so strong running at the front, and he often feels like, I think the best strategy for him is to lead a lot of the race. But when you see him able to sit on, you know, Cole's shoulder, it's like, okay, what more could you ask for? That's perfect.
I do think Cole's front running is a little underrated though. For a guy that is known for his kick,
mm-hmm.
he actually front runs kind of a lot.
Him and Cooper are very good at like,
yeah, Cooper as well,
time trialing.
USA's last year, like, I'm pretty sure he went like 334 in the rounds just from the front.
Yeah.
To be even fair,
Milrose, he went to the front and hit a grunt. Like, he's
strong.
Compared to me, who also has a kick.
Well, compared to you, George.
Everyone's a front runner.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No, but to be
for
fair,
someone else with a kick, I don't run from the front
to
like
Cole. To be fair, and I hate to say it.
So that's respect to Cole.
To be fair, and I hate to say it, Josh is also a good front runner because he has run like 331 solo by himself, front running.
Has he?
In the previous years. Yeah, he has a soil record in the US for running 331.
Yeah.
Like, he has shown to be able to front run. So, like, those guys can all front run and they can all kick. They just
but Josh actually against like the other best runners in the world, I don't think does have a great. I think there's been cases like after Josh won world champs, like when he tried to go set the British record, he tried to front run a lot
Zurich.
Of that.
Yeah.
Like, I know what you mean.
He still ran 330.
No, but I know what you mean, but I think Josh is famous for having a big like second or last lap specifically.
Yeah.
Like a big wind-up. He's known like for last that, 600.
But my point is that all three of those guys can front run and front run like decently well.
Like from the lap one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Josh ran 331 literally by himself.
No, well, that was paced, obviously. That's different. That's not from lap one.
Okay, well, I think...
It's good, but it's not from the gun like this.
This is a bit different. Yeah, well, this is a bit different, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, there was...
Because then you could say that really like, Cole had pacing at Milrose, so...
Yeah, I do. You did. You can say that.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like front running is like new for because like, people are getting slammed. It's a new experience, new front running slamming experience. But yeah, let's talk about the greatest bit about the race, which was the fucking finish.
Yeah,
the move from Marco with 2:50 to go.
Dude, he just went way too early, bro.
800 guys.
God damn it, he's so good, but he must just be early.
He must just feel so good. He's like, all right, it's time.
Yeah, I'll just go now.
My theory is that
because he must think he can make it. He's not like doing it to not win, which
100% is he's 100% like I'm running to the line. That's what he's doing.
Even said afterwards, he's like, I thought I had it.
I think that 800 guys are used to having their fastest point in the race be like almost never the last 100, whereas in any championship, well, not any, but pretty much any championship 1500 meter race, you have to be running your fastest in the last 50/100 meters. So I think like he's just not used to having to be like, oh no, I need like one or two more gears.
He thinks everyone else will also be slowing down.
Yeah.
Whereas Cole and Josh were actually just waiting that entire time.
They're being a little more patient with it. But dude, it was so funny seeing the shots. They're doing these kind of overhead shots and it was Yared right next to Marco. And Yared's not a small person. He's quite tall. He's extremely skinny, I guess. So he's small in that sense. But those two next to each, like I can't imagine running next to Marco in a race, man.
I'm surprised how gentle he is with his space though. Like he could just lift an elbow.
Respectful.
He's so respectful in the pack. Like I was watching, I was like, dude, you could just like shove everyone out of your way right now.
Like, push everyone and win the race. But he did. I think I got really excited, just like I know you guys did when he went to the front. And
it was so sick.
Because compared to the last slam, it was just a little bit later he was making that move. He still was running like really wide for a little bit, which was a bit concerning. But it's like, oh my God, he's going to hold this. Because he did have like a pretty crazy kind of change of pace, you know, like
he moved a step on him.
Like he was holding it, but then
I would have loved to see him do the double just to see someone like he's, I guess at this point, he's the only one that has any hope of winning both races.
I guess Wanyoni did it, apart from him. No?
No, Marco beat him in the eight.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So he could, but yeah.
Yeah, apart I guess from, he would.
He looks like the only person that could challenge, probably. No. So just to see someone do the double, but it's, was
I
not
mean, the
be.
Whole storyline, Marco's so likable, and then also the like so much of the talk was about the three 1500 meter medalists. So the fact that he's come out and he's come second, first, he ended up being the overall winner is like so good. But yeah, specifically the finish of the 1500, Kerr, unfortunately Yared was in a great spot, but he did start going backwards a little bit. I think maybe he's was a bit tired from having the 800 in the legs the day before.
Also he's older.
New stimulus. Turning 26 is a big performance D enhancement. So I don't know if he took that into account.
Thank God
either.
He doesn't listen to this podcast.
we'll tell him. We'll make sure he knows.
Yeah,
he's too old now. He's got to move up, and he's got to run the 5K.
Dude, should we make that joke when we see him at practice next? When we're all together, just be like, "Yeah, hey, I mean, he's you might need to move up, bro."
The context for anyone who's listening is like he makes fun of people being old all the time. So
he's
like,
such a dick about it.
Yeah. So he always was so proud about being young, but
he's not young anymore.
Yeah. Anyway. So. Yeah, it did come down to a classic sprint between Cole and Kerr, and it was really close. Like Cole almost had it, but Kerr was just too strong. Did some annoying celebration after.
I congratulations, Josh. Great job, seriously. But fuck, I hate it. I hate seeing him win like that because then
his last 100 looks so good.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. He looks really good. I just fucking hated it. So I just all the after stuff. I hated it. I switched it straight back to Lord of the Rings.
Is it 25.8 or something on the last 200.
Very quick. Yeah.
Pretty good at
Cole took out his hair and you could just see in his face, he's just like, fuck. Like, yeah. He definitely was, he's not used to that. He's not used to somebody being able to come back like that. So,
yeah, it was very impressive. But I wonder if at that point, he might have thought that he had won.
Cole? No, because you can see, Kerr.
I mean, the overall slam.
Oh yeah, because no, he was just celebrating that win. You could tell because then when A-Rob saw him and then turned around, I think Kerr turned around and saw A-Rob celebrating. And was like, okay, A-Rob.
Did Kerr end up fifth again in the 800?
Yeah, no? Same as last time.
So it was the same as last time.
So they were 5-1 and 4-1. So I think even if Marco got out dipped by Hoey because it was literally so close. I think Marco still would have won because I think.
The time
they were closer together than like Marco and Josh in the 800 were so far apart
because Crammy was saying that like we need to go back to time and then you realize oh wait no Arab got fourth there he's got the points.
Yeah, I thought it was like kind of brutal for the point stuff is always so interesting to work out because Yared got third in six and he was six overall.
Yeah,
isn't that weird?
Yeah,
it doesn't add up. Just
getting like those top two places are just
and those performances from Yara were pretty solid. Like obviously the 15 not as solid, but like third in the 800 is pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
As a 15 guy.
Hobbs and Hoey must have been 4-5, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Three. They came through
one of them was third.
Let me get overall, I think.
Yeah.
I was on the slam.
I am quite enjoying the combined points thing. After it.
You like it?
I quite like looking at. Like, I still think.
You like numbers, though, George.
I still think our 10 point for the win is better. I still think that should be something they take on for next year. But I do like it. Like, it's fun seeing who had a really good weekend.
God. Grand Slam posts so much.
Man. Oh, good luck finding anything on
there. Dude, that, I tell you one thing. That's ridiculous. How they measure success, how many posts they've done. Holy shit.
And they're being
short distance. A-Rob was 17 points. Kerr, 16 points. Hoey was third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
12 points. He was fifth in the 1500 and second in the 8.
Yeah, that second is still a bonus.
Yeah, then 6 and 3. It's so much different.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get the bonus point for coming second.
So there's a bonus point for coming second.
There's a bigger gap.
Yeah, Hocker was fourth, second and sixth. Kessler, third and fourth.
I mean, that makes sense.
Fifth.
That's weird. The third and
third and fourth, you're fifth.
That's weird.
Nagus, sixth and third, sixth. Chapel, seventh and seventh, seventh. And then Giles, eighth and eighth. I mean.
Wow, I didn't even know Hobbs.
Hobbs, third and fourth, and he's. Fifth, is crazy.
Hobbs was quite quiet. My prediction of him winning the double was, I mean, didn't come to fruition, obviously. and maybe was a bit much to ask in his first outing of the season.
I think it just shows the level, huh?
Yeah.
Because we know Hobbs is an amazing, like, we know he's amazing form and he's amazing, but I think it just shows the level that they're competing at.
Do you guys a favor and go in the comment section afterwards and look at that?
Might have to.
Anyway. Yeah.
I would love to see you in one of those 800s, Ollie. Well, I mean, just the double.
Me in an 815. People might think, oh, Ollie, you know, he's kind of shit right now. I reckon I could run a good 800, honestly.
Yeah,
I reckon I could run a good 8. I reckon my 15 would be pretty solid.
You only need to come like third or fourth.
I think if I'm a pure off pure rage, I reckon I could run a really good one race, and then this other race is back it up. Pure rage.
That's all you need.
But I think the 2-day event overall with Grand Slam was a lot easier to digest. I just, do you think they're going to put in another event for the distance? I know I keep banging on about it, but
I do.
And you think it'll be a 15?
I do.
Well, I guess like they've decided that you can't do a 3K, 5K double. Which, you know, like, otherwise they'd be doing that right now.
No, I do think it's too much.
But you know what? I thought about, a lot of people do it at NCAA indoors. I've done it.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but imagine doing it four times.
They don't do it four times.
Yeah.
4 times in 4 months.
That's a lot.
I don't know about 4 months.
3 months.
3 months.
3 months.
It's still a lot, I reckon. Like a 5K on your body is still a lot, I reckon. If it's a particular.
Not if you jog it.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, honestly, I think.
Just do a Mary Moira and just jog it.
They're jogging it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's fair enough.
You definitely ran faster than they've been running indoors.
Like, I get that it does seem like a lot, but I'm thinking about it in the context of, like, this is what you do. Like, this is your job. This is your Olympics 4 times a year.
Actually,
you know what I mean?
Indoors is actually less than 24 hours because the 5K is always at night and the 3K is
more afternoon.
It's like,
it's doable.
What about if they did this? They did this where they have, you know, like in car races, when there's been a crash or something in F1, they usually have the car that comes out and like slows them down. What we should do is for the 5K, for the first 2K, you can't run past this person.
Oh, a neutral start, like a
neutral
cycling.
Start for two K. You just settle in.
So racing 2-3K.
But the first 2K, they have to run it in say 6 minutes. Which
they
is
have
quick.
You know what? Actually, if they had pacing that was like
you set can't go past
like,
it.
Actually, a decent pace.
Yeah. Like 6 minutes.
That could actually be an exciting.
So six
addition.
Minutes is like you just watch them move around and they just get into position. For six minutes for 2K.
Basically the formation lap in Formula 1.
Yeah,
Or the neutral start
and then,
in cycling.
Yeah. Once the guy moves off, there's like a bang or something. Somebody has like a popper or something. And then it's 3K. And then they go race it.
Yeah.
This is good, actually.
Because then that way you limit the amount, like how hard they run the first 2K.
What about for the actual 3K? What do they do?
What they do is they actually
1K neutral.
Do a 1K neutral at the end. And you can't change your position. So the first 2K is an all-out sprint to get to that 1K pacer. And then once you just jog it in, you have to stay in that little order.
Amazing. Flawless idea.
So then the last K, you're just watching the winner just do a victory lap for a K.
Would love to watch that. Amazing. But yeah,
can you imagine how crazy it would be to see the finish and then they go, oh, they got one more K. They just have to keep running.
Just clap them in for a whole K.
Like, you'd love that, George. You do that usually when you finish a race.
I do.
Yeah. I think like it is a lot.
I mean, the commissioner's definitely listening. He's like, he's got great ideas.
I think they could, but I think it would be a lot.
That's like what you're preparing for.
But that would be a lot harder to get people to do it too, I think.
Yeah.
They've obviously already been struggling.
Give them more money.
A little bit.
Yeah. But I think, I don't know if that's why they've been, maybe it is why.
Well, the sprints even, they haven't even got some of the top guys and there's been a lot of money in the sprints and the distance.
Yeah, like, you know, it's not. It's
like the
not
top people
the,
haven't been coming in as much.
The 100, 200 group have only had two of the races in it.
Yeah.
Six were challenges. So it's I think it's
Kenny's
pretty much
Kenny's
all of them.
Fucking bored out there.
Yeah, Kenny's just cashing
so,
in checks,
he's
bro.
He's so far ahead, it's not even.
But he's actually, the thing is, he's running so crazy.
He's running
so it's like, you can't even say.
Speak
like
of the 100, can we shout it out? Or is it such a side note? Somebody in Australia ran sub 10 recently.
That was pretty sick.
Can we just do a little shout out for
and
him?
Because
that's pretty sick.
Good.
No, it wasn't.
Lucky Kennedy.
Yeah, Lucky Kennedy. He's had a massive jump up this year. Because I didn't, I mean, not that I've been paying that much attention to Sprint World, but I didn't really know who he was last year. This year comes out, gets a freaking medal World Indoors in the 60, and then he's looked great ever since that.
Mm. He beat Gaga to Melbourne.
Yeah, and 200. Just became at the Kip Keino Classic in, I believe, Nairobi, yep. Kenya.
Little altitude benefit.
Came maybe. the second Australian ever to break 10 seconds in the 100. So a historic achievement for our country.
Yeah.
You know, Ollie's close personal friend, Rowan Browning, was wanting to be that man, but hopefully he can.
Hey, Rowan's
going to
get it. Rowan, you're going to get it, brother.
He's the national champion.
Yeah. Rowan's going to get it. He's ready.
So
he's ready to rock and roll.
And he won. And he the other thing with Lockie is he actually won the race, and it was a really good race.
It was a very good race. So shout out to Lockie. Great job. Lockie, if you're around at Neuromuscular Day, you'd know that all these boys here, we run under 10 all the time doing our Neuromuscular 100-meter sprints. We don't time it. We just count the
Speaking
seconds.
Of sprinting down under, there's a Kiwi bloke who runs for USC now that ran...
No one cares about Kiwis, bro.
I'm just kidding. Who broke the New Zealand national record in 200 at regionals?
What was it, like 24, 25?
He didn't qualify for NCAAs.
Did he qualify? He didn't qualify for NCAAs, but he broke the national record. Jordy, you set yourself up a failure here, bro.
I should have checked if he qualified.
He broke the New Zealand record. He came 47th. Not kidding.
He ran,
I know he's really good.
Yeah.
He ran 20.2, I think.
Which is very, which, like, very quick.
It's not 19, I give you that. But in like New Zealand sprinting,
that's very good.
Isn't the New Zealand 400 record like something crazy slow?
Someone just broke 46 for like the first time ever this season.
Dude.
Look, 400.
Jordy, you could get that record, bro.
I'll be honest, the 400 is not New Zealand's best event, okay?
What's New Zealand's best event?
Not the 400.
Men's steeple.
Well, what is New Zealand's best?
The mile,
gotta be the 1500 or the mile.
No, the 800 record, like, sat for ages. That snail record.
That's because we were bad at that event, not because we're good at that event.
Well, that's not true, because you had the record there. You were good at it in the 70s, and then, you know, then there was the Kiwi Bird crisis, and you guys just didn't
run. Your food supply.
Yeah, you didn't run because you're too scared to scare off the Kiwi Birds. So pathetic. Anyway,
actually, New Zealand's pretty good at throws.
Yeah,
maybe that's more
say,
just recent with the
throws and
people.
Jumps. I mean, with Hamish and Big Walshy, Tom Walsh,
and then also Valerie was like
Valerie pole vault. Oh wait, Valerie, who's the pole vaulter? What's her name?
Eliza.
She's quite good.
She's
too.
Got a couple medals.
Sorry, Valerie. Yep, I mixed up Valerie and Eliza.
Okay, I found it. West first round results.
The tension is killing me.
100. How many do they have to run that twice? Surely. Result.
Probs.
He made it.
Nice job, brother.
Good work, Eddie. Third in his heat.
He's going to go straight to nationals?
Well done.
He's going to go win the 200?
It's cool to have a
big
Q. Country at USC. That's
yeah.
Pretty cool.
Big Q. Good shit, Eddie.
Well done. We'll Lucky. Be following closely.
It must be. Would have lost a lot of...
Yeah, Jordy feeling a lot of pride right now.
I wouldn't be able to bring up sprinting again if he didn't make nationals.
Very good job.
Very good job.
But the sprints, I would love to see Noah Lyles in the short sprints.
Why do you think he's not doing it?
Well, actually, he's not racing.
He's not racing.
Right now, so maybe
that
he's got
true.
Some injury or something.
But what about Marcel Jacobs, our hero? He coffee club fan.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because Kenny and Melissa Jefferson are both absolutely dominating right now.
Yeah.
Both from the same training group down in Florida.
Yeah.
Sprinters, I feel like it's hard for them to maintain form for this long. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it does
That's
play
a good
out.
Point.
Because maybe for some of those other good guys, like I would imagine someone like a Marcel Jacobs who has dealt with a few injuries, I feel like he'd just be like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like I'm going to just try peak for Worlds, which means like their window for racing is probably only like 3 months. I don't know, like during outdoors.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably way more selective about it.
Maybe they have time for like a reset of kinds.
A There's double peak.
A full 2.5 months between LA and Tokyo.
Shikari's not hasn't raced one yet, has she? Because
no, she's opening up her season though.
She's starting soon, isn't she?
No, she raced in Japan randomly.
Oh, really?
They had a bunch of people.
That's right.
How'd she go? Like okay?
I think I don't know. I don't actually know.
No, the American sprint scene is so good.
I assume she won, but I don't know.
It's so good, but it's just. I mean, is Fred even in for Grand Slam anymore? He was racing somewhere else. Like
I don't know, man.
Last week,
I don't know what's going on with Fred.
Yeah, But like the American sprint is so deep, but you'd love to see like it's a stacked American short distance. Or one of my favorite things to see, Sydney McLaughlin running the 100.
Pretty good, honestly.
100 hurdles.
Yeah.
And she finished fifth, right? Was it fifth?
What? Overall?
No, fifth in that race, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Overall, I think she was, I think she was fourth or fifth, yeah. Sydney is just so good at the 400 hurdles. So, like, it just gets to a point where it's like, you know, a bit.
What's crazy
normalized.
Is that she gave up basically a guaranteed $200,000 by doing that.
Yeah, but I reckon that was in that contract. I reckon they pay her. We'll give you $200,000 to go on the other event.
Yeah, they probably pay her to do that. You're right.
That's basically what I'm saying. Like, is that what's happening? Surely.
They definitely paid her to do that.
I mean, for her, I don't think money is a problem at this point with how much like her base salary is and everything in a given year.
Oh, no, she's just doing it for free. That's what she told me.
The love of the sport.
Volunteering for Grand Slam.
She's doing it for the love of the sport.
So, yeah, I think
that but yeah, she's probably giving up a fuck ton of money. Bro.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense because like it's, I think once she's won two so easily, I think I like people stop watching it essentially. Like it's still an amazing thing to see the best of all time go and do their event, but
and still do really freaking well.
But it's like a great storyline to put them in a different event where they're challenged. And it does go to show, I think, the difference between the 400 hurdles and the 100 hurdles, and just in terms of like they in my head, they seemed like somewhat similar events, but I think
like steeplechase, right, George? It's the same thing.
Well, what's crazy is that those hurdles are actually higher than her normal hurdles.
Yeah.
So that's actually quite different.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're actually really different
events. Don't you reckon, though,
she probably... The technique is quite different.
Doesn't you reckon, though, she probably hurdles higher hurdles when she runs anyway, just because it's easier?
No.
Dude, she walks... Her and Femke, like, walk over there.
I recently saw a video of Femke Bold working out with the hurdles. She literally just stepped over it. She just stepped over it. Like, she's quite tall. She's like almost six foot. She just stepped over the hurdle. I was like, imagine George doing that in the steeple. Would be hilarious.
But that's why it's so different, because the hurdles that they do go over for the 100 and the 110 hurdles are actually like so high.
Yeah.
It's still way more of a sprinting event than the men's hurdles, though. I think.
Yeah.
The men's hurdles are so high that...
It's a hurdling event.
Even more of like hurdling efficiency is... prized over top speed, I think.
Yeah. That's what you're saying. Makes sense.
That's Grand Slam, though.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about Rome yet.
No.
Rome Demon
League. Let's hear this race plan.
Give it to us.
Well.
Men's 1500, Rome.
Men's 1500, Rome.
Friday night.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius. So, God, Mario would kill me if I did that. My goal... Oh, sorry. So
no. Race plan.
So I did a K with Robert Fakin, hero of Germany. It was pretty good, and I felt very, very good in that K. I felt that I know for my race plan what I'm going to do from that K, and that is actually I'm going to stay at the front, whatever the front may be. If it's like ridiculous, like 3:28, 3:27 pace, then I might not be able to get to the lead. But with 500 to go, I want to get to the lead. And then 400 to go, I just want to go as hard as I can that first 100.
The first 100 or the last 400?
1100 to 1200, you just sprint.
That's like as hard as you can?
And
so
then,
what happens after that?
And then what do you do at 1200?
Hard as I can to a point where like I can finish the lap.
Bro, I'm going to be so excited to see this happen now. And I'm going to be waiting.
This is it.
If you see me move to the front. Okay. So like,
this is like
a
Nick Willis move.
Yeah.
Actually.
So if you know, it is a Nick Willis move.
Yeah.
That's what I was about to get at. So if you see me move to the front, you know it's coming. If you don't see me move to the front, then you know that I'm hurting. Fair enough. But if you see me at the front.
Do you plan on like being behind the pacemaker earlier or just like wherever you end up?
Just wherever I end up. Like, okay. I think a lot of people are going to be in that race thinking like, I can win this race because it's got a lot of good guys, but no like massive head hitters. No Jakob Ingebrigtsens, no Cole, no Josh, no Yard, you know? So people are going to be fighting for that spot. So I know that like it'll be rough at the start, but when people set it in, I'll hopefully get into a good position. I want to be near the front when it hits a K. And then once it hits a K, I'm just going to go move into the front in that 100 meters. And then from 1100 to 1200, I'm going to rip that bend.
When did Nick Willis do this? Because I was picturing Alan Webb. You guys know the famous Alan Webb video? Oh, got to show you it. It's like,
but if I'm feeling good and I can do it, that's my plan. If I'm not feeling good, then obviously I'm going to try and hang on and try and do the best I can. But if I'm feeling good, you'll know the signal. You'll see the signal when the camera's on me. So,
successfully, Com Games was a little bit like that. He just, bell rings and he just goes really hard for like 150 meters, breaks the whole field.
Which one?
When he wins at Mottram Falls.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't count.
And,
save Mottram.
Shout out Mottram.
But more so Portland, Centro winning. Willis runs like a 25 with 400 to go.
Oh, really?
And then holds on, but gets passed by Centro and the other guy.
So my plan is...
He would just sometimes like hit the front and go crazy with 400 to go and then just see if he could hold on.
My plan is, I don't think people will expect it. They expect to like sit and then relax and then work the straight for positioning and then obviously kick from there. I'm going to kick.
You get the jump on them.
I'm going to get the jump because I reckon when you get a jump and you're running that quick and you can hang on, I reckon it's so hard to try and get back there.
Well, that was an important bit in the middle of that statement.
Holding on.
Yeah, that bit.
No, but to be fair though, the workouts that I've done, I'm confident that I can hold on. I'm confident. If I'm feeling good, obviously it depends on if you're feeling good.
What's Robbie?
No one never knows how.
What's Robbie Farkas' race plan?
Robbie Farkas?
Yeah.
To win at all costs. Well, Robert, actually, to be honest, like Robert looks insanely good. He always looks insanely good in training, but I think he's going to run something very impressive. But Robert
can't find the race I was looking for, guys. So
I foresee a reasonably similar race to Rabat. I would say. I feel like it's quite a similar field. Really?
Is Coach in it?
No. Both Chariots representing Kenya.
But I don't think Tim's in that stage of his career where he's going to take the lead. I think he's just going to sit on the outside.
Exactly, which is why I think it'll be somewhat like Rabat because there isn't someone that's going to hit the front, it feels like, and make it a 3:28 race.
I cannot wait to see this.
And they, like, it'll, I think I foresee a race where they close hard at 400 to go and run 31, 32, 33 in that range. Which is what happened in Rabat.
I believe it. Don't know.
That's my prediction.
I just want to see Ollie sprint for 100 meters.
That's going to be so good.
To go. Okay, anyone in the comments who knows the Alan Webb, I couldn't find it. I don't know what it was, which one it was exactly, but it's like famous. Like he just like sprints so hard for 100 and it's like crazy. He runs like a 12-second 100 in the middle of the race.
That's actually
that's
unreal.
Gonna be Ollie.
Yeah, that's going to be me.
So I'm very excited to see that play out. And we already mentioned that Robert Falcon from the team is also going to be in the race. And yeah, he's just been clicking off training since his 800 meter win in Penn. So he's been looking
What's Cinta's very race good. Plan?
Cinta, she's going back to Rome where last year she ran a very speedy, I think a second fastest time ever was there. You know, back to Italy, go do her thing. Her race is pretty solidly stacked, like probably in a similar way to the men's 1500. Both of them, I feel like, are pretty similar levels where they don't have like, people who are like going for necessarily the world record this time, but like just really solid Diamond League fields. She's just going out there to go kick some butt, you know? I think there's a couple of really good Aussies that are in the race as well, who the Aussies are, especially on the women's 15, I feel like are very consistent in the Diamond Leagues, like good to key off. So hopefully she can get in the mix with them. So very excited to see Cinta race as well. Josette, she's doing a kind of crazy like double back from racing just at the Grand Slam. And her race will probably be extremely spicy because
that's like the race of the meet.
It does have Beatrice Chibet in it.
That field is unbelievable.
Beatrice Chibet is on that mode where every single probably meet organizer at the Diamond League is like, no, we're going to set the lights and the pacing for the world record. You're going to go run after it. It also has Nadia Battaglietti in it, who had some good battles against Chibet at the Olympics last year and obviously Italian record holder and stuff. So she's going to be probably running very quick. I think it'll be a great opportunity for Josette to, you know, Josette, we all know how good Josette is and she's often shown it, especially in indoors, but I feel like now she's really carrying it through outdoors and can really explode in some of these like really big outdoor races. So it'll be exciting to see kind of how that plays out as well.
100%.
So yeah, that's the track action happening this week. And then I think we don't have like that much time to really preview it right now, but actually, so this podcast episode will come out on Thursday. Rome Diamond League is on Friday. And then the next Thursday is the Oslo Diamond League, which Ollie's also racing in.
Yeah.
Who else is racing at that one? Do you know the field or not really?
Field's not out yet. Robert's in it. I know Cameron Myers, who was on the podcast, is in it. I think Laros would potentially be in it. This will be a big, this will be one of the biggest races for the 1500 other than Grand Slams.
Surely Nave with it.
No, I think.
Norwegian?
Yeah, it depends on what the mayor says.
Jakob's not there.
Yeah, but.
It's either one or the other normally.
Yeah. That's going to be a really, really big race.
Is it a 1500 or a mile?
It's a mile. It's a dream mile again.
Dream mile.
Oh, it hasn't been there for years.
Yeah. Been, last time it was that, I was second.
And between 2 years of 1500s in between. Mm. Oh, that's cool. It's going back to the mile. Oh, wait. No, I was thinking someone else.
But I thought, I'd love to win that because then if I won that, there's only one more prestigious mile I'd need to win because I've won Milrose, Emsley Carr. If I win Dream Mile and I win Pre, I've won all the top miles that you can do historically.
Two to go.
But
two down, two to go.
The two hardest miles to possibly win in your career.
Out of it.
Honestly, it feels like the Oslo field will be maybe better than Rome.
Yeah. I guarantee it'll be better. It's harder to get in. I think it will be it's one of those more prestigious. I mean, Rome's going to be fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but I think we'll see some bigger players,
bigger hitters
move in to Oslo.
Well, that is like, it is interesting now that we really are seeing the effect of, especially, I think the effect is like doubled because Jakob's injured right now. Cause I think it would have been, you wouldn't have really felt it if he was there, but now you are feeling the effect of the Grand Slam taking
you
out
really are.
A bunch
these,
of those
these
guys.
Early 1500s. Definitely.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy because obviously, like, you would probably, yeah, I would be going and doing some with you guys.
You'd probably
as well.
Do Oslo, I'd say,
yeah,
right?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Maybe you'd do both. Like, yeah. Why not?
So, yeah, we are seeing it play out now. But needless to say, going to be some very exciting races. It's just exciting to have, like, the European season kind of going back into full swing right now. And there's so much action happening right now. It's kind of crazy how much action is happening because I feel like a lot of it is being missed here in the US because it's just. There's so much racing, but it's like all these big races that we know and we love are just happening. Like the meet in Zagreb already happened. Rovereto is on today.
Yeah.
Like, because these are all meets that were famously late season meets. And now with the rearrangement of the schedules, they've been pushed much earlier. So it's weird. I'm excited to hopefully, well, I guess I'm not going to be going over to Europe soon, but I'm excited to see the team get over there and kind of get into that racing circuit. Because to be honest, our team doesn't do it as much as maybe like some others, but I think like as a professional runner going on the circuit in Europe and like, you know, going race to race is like probably maybe the funnest thing you can do, like in our sport. It's, or it's up there, you know. I have like such great memories.
Mean, starting a podcast is way funner, but
yeah, I mean, obviously like a podcast is a little more exclusive.
Yeah.
It's not like just anyone can start a podcast, you know.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, that European racing circuit is a really good time, so
yeah.
It's cool to go and be a part of it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, going to have to download some shows, download some stuff for the travel. So, I'm looking forward to doing that. Actually, I've been maybe late to the party with this. I forgot to mention, but I'm really, like, obsessed with Love on the Spectrum. I love that show. Have you guys watched the show? Man, it's unscripted. It's by Australians. It's created by Australian people, and they just have these people who have autism, and they like help them with the dating scene, but they don't like affect like the script. They just go out there and they go try and find partners, and it's like the most beautiful, awkward. It's just every bit of emotion. Like, there's periods where it's so sweet, and then there's periods where like this is really awkward to watch. But it's a beautiful show, and I'm gonna download some of that. I think. But that, I'm going to read my books.
Amazing.
So I'm going to stock up on stuff because I can't bring me Xbox this time.
Why not? Where are your Switch?
I could probably bring my Switch. We could play Fortnite, Morgs, if you want to.
Yeah, you bring the Switch.
Yeah.
Sick.
Potentially.
Yeah. Jordy's download Stardew Valley.
So yeah, Stardew Valley. Jordy said he's going to download. He's going to get the Switch too, aren't you, George?
Yeah, for my trip.
I can see George getting into the Switch eventually. Yeah. You know, George got an iPad a few years after... us, you know,
you're an iPad kid, George.
A couple years later, I could see him adopting the Switch pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm an iPad child.
You're an iPad kid.
I could see it coming around. Who knows?
I got an iPad, also known as a large iPod. That thing is so small.
Yep.
Yeah, you do have the iPad.
Your one is that funny size.
I love it though when I travel because I can just like.
I just don't know how it's different. It's basically an iPhone Plus.
It's a big iPhone.
It's bigger than the iPhones, but that big. It's like a tablet. It's like a Kindle.
It represents a very different place in your like arsenal because to me, like my the thing that I like a lot about the iPad is I can sometimes bring it instead of my laptop, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas that one is like maybe like too small. I don't know.
I bring my MacBook Air and my iPad with me when I travel.
Just like, but then, small.
Like, what do you do on the iPad? Because your phone is basically the same size. And if you actually want to watch something on screen, you watch it on your MacBook Air now, or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
So what do you do on the iPad?
No, the iPad's nice because it has the apps. So the apps can download
what kind of
Netflix,
apps?
Disney Plus.
Yeah, but
so you watch stuff on that. You watch stuff than your Air.
Yeah, because you can't download anything on the Air. You can watch stuff on the Air.
Okay, you're right.
But for the iPad, it's a bigger screen, but it's small enough that it's not a hindrance to take with me, and it downloads all the apps. Whereas, like my phone, for example, my phone's too small. Or I want the mini phone. I love a mini phone. You remember you have a
mini phone's
phone.
Good.
Mini phone's sweet, but I kind of like, you're gonna laugh at me, George and Morgan, but I kind of want to get away from my phone when I'm on a plane because I'm on it all the time. So then this is a good break. So I got my iPad.
You've gone all sides of the spectrum because you used to have the massive iPad.
I had the biggest iPad, and I thought this would be great for watching movies on planes and stuff. And it was the most annoying thing to take with you.
Mario has that.
Does he?
What's
it 12?
What's that called?
It's like the 12 inch, like the Max or something, like iPad Air or some shit. It's massive iPad, but I have one and it was just absolutely
Mario
miserable. It's miserable to carry around because it's just like, it's not a laptop.
Yeah, but it's the same size.
It's the same size. Whereas like I like the different sizes and I like having a skinny laptop and a small iPad.
Fair enough.
I'm just a man of simple pleasures, George.
I love it.
I'm actually looking forward to the Apple event coming up, boys, because apparently there's going to be small foldable iPhone.
I heard they were going foldable too.
Yeah. Which I would actually buy because if it's foldable, it means it's smaller.
Nice. Well,
alrighty.
On that note, I think it's a good place to wrap up episode 189 of the podcast. Best of luck to Ollie as he goes out to Europe to
Thank you.
Begin the campaign.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you guys so much for joining us once again. It's been a pleasure having you. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye-bye.
Hey, guys. Morgan has asked me to ask you guys to like the video, drop a comment, and subscribe so we can hit 10,000 subscribers, which would be rad, and send it to some friends so we can get the Cuff Club word out there.